All right, we've got. I've got a really good word for you today, so I trust you're ready for that. And I've called it Mark for God. I want to start with a scripture just to open this up, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. And I'm going to read it in the New King James, and it says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him." Now, I want to give it to you in the Amplified because it actually brings it another dimension. It says, "What eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and has not entered in the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made and keeps ready." I like that. It's made and keeps ready. It's already created. It's ready for us, for those that love Him. That was the only fine print in there. For those that love Him. So there is an amazing thing. You cannot think about it. You can't expand your thinking wide enough to understand what God has prepared for us. You haven't heard it. You haven't seen it. You haven't thought about it. What God has already made ready for us. It's there. We could go home right now. You know, that to me was like, no one can ever say they've got any idea what God has got in store for you. Because as soon as you think of something, it's more than that. You know, if you understood that, I'm sure you'd take off running around Pastor Field here today. You know, that's how immense it is. You know, you get out in that field and you'll be yelling and hooping and whatever and say, "Don't worry about your skate, kids, I'm going to run around this field." Because it is immense what God has got around in store for us. You know, just on the wall here, we've got some locked storage, which I'm thanking God every day for. Because as soon as we get the keys for that, it will be wonderful. We don't have to take it home every week. But the reason for that locked storage is that our stuff is in store, ready for us to use. And it's there. There's a preparation, so we put it in store, so when we want to use it, we just go to the cupboard and bring it out. And that's what the same is with God. He's got it ready for us. It's in the cupboard. It's already there. When do you want it? When do you need it? When do you want it? That's what it's all about. So when we get an understanding of this, that God keeps it ready. So we have to use something to transfer that into the area we can use it. See, most fathers, even bad fathers, want their children to increase and have more. I don't know one father that I've met that doesn't want to do something good for his kids. Even the worst criminal still wants to do something. Wants to leave a legacy, wants to get his kids to do better than he's done. And our Heavenly Father wants us to increase so much that He's made preparation. He's got all these things in store for us just so that we can have them. He wants us to have more. And He's not satisfied if you just stay where you are right now and just be satisfied with what you've got. He wants you to have more and more and increase and prosper. And so this morning I want to talk to you about the topic that I've called Mark for God. And as a young 16-year-old man, my parents informed me that we were leaving Perth and moving to Newcastle. Now, it came as a shock, because if you remember when you were 16 years of age, and for me I was like preparing for what I wanted to do with my career, where I wanted to study, and at that stage in Perth, I had my sights set on being an architect, so I was going to do my HSC and go into university and those sort of things. And my parents said, not only we're going to move to Newcastle, we're going to move in about 3 or 4 months, and we want you to drop out of school. So that means, they told me at Christmas time, I was going to go into my HSC years, and they said, but we want you to drop out of school because it's no point going for 2 or 3 months. in the new school year because we're going to be leaving. And it's a different school system in New South Wales. And so they said, why don't you go and get a job for a few months? So I decided that I would go down to the newly opened Kmart in Morley in Perth. Now, it was a big deal. I mean, Kmart had just moved to Australia, yeah. Right? And so I went down there and they gave me a job straight away, which was good. And so it was interesting. And I was excited, really, to be earning $7.50 a week. I was very excited because my parents weren't really, they were pastors of a church and I didn't get pocket money. Once in a blue moon, if I went and collected bottles and handed them in, I'd get some money. That was about it. So I was excited. And there's one thing that a young man needs when he's making his way in the world and is interested in women and those sort of things and making an impression. I needed some decent clothes. I needed something that was reasonably trendy, and I looked at what I had in my wardrobe, picked by my parents, and I thought, well, that's not going to do. So I decided that I was going to buy some clothes from Kmart. Now, believe it or not, Kmart was actually trendy back in 1969. And so I had spied out these clothes, and so looking at my salary, looking at the clothes, there was a big gap. There was a huge gap, actually. But I thought, well, I'm going to lay by these clothes. So I chose my wardrobe very carefully, and I lay-by'd, and I took them to our new lay-by department, and they wrapped them in brown paper for me, and they put my name on them. I was there. I was a staff member. So they put my name on it. And I was confident that it didn't matter what happened out in the store, if they ran out of that range or they sold out so quickly, I'm sure they were going to do that. I had my stuff put away marked for me. So nobody else could go and get that. It didn't matter what happened, that was mine. Now, it wasn't any use to me. I mean, those clothes were no use to me at all because they weren't mine yet. They had my name on it, right? I'd put a down payment of a dollar on the things. But each week, I took out my money, had to give some to the parents, and had the tithe from that, and I put some money on those clothes. And week by week, they were there. I knew they were mine, but they were no good for the intended purpose at this stage. I could tell people, I've got a new set of clothes. I told my parents, told my brother because, to stir him up a bit. Hey, I've got a new set of clothes, and they're really cool. And so I couldn't use them until I paid them for them fully. And when I paid for them fully, then they could serve their purpose. And let me tell this morning, there's a difference between being marked by God and being called. There's a difference. And see, being marked is the deposit, and being called is taking full possession. I'll say that again. Being marked is the deposit, and being called is taking full possession of what it is. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, we read this. In him also you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed. Another word, you were marked. You were marked. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to praise him, to praise of his glory. See, the Holy Spirit has sealed you. He's put his mark upon you. And right now, he's preparing you, right, to be called into what God's got for you. And you might be saying, well, I'm just not doing anything. I don't understand what God wants me to do. But he's put his seal upon you. He's put his mark upon you. And he's just getting you ready to do what he's called you to do. See, on the day that I made the last payment was the day that I called my clothes, and they were no longer marked, they were called. No longer did they just have my name. I didn't have to have my name on them anymore. There's no point going around with the bag of clothes with my name on it. I put them on. They'll fit for purpose. And that's the difference when you become to the area where God's called you. No longer are you marked, you're now into service. And as you know, that just over a month ago, probably just a month ago, Susan and I went to the USA, and in that we included 5 flights. We flew from Sydney to San Francisco, spent some time in the Bay Area. Then we went from San Francisco to Chicago to do our conference. And then we went from Chicago to Dallas for a night, then Dallas to Hawaii, and then for 7 nights, and then back to Sydney. But it was interesting, but before I left, I placed these RFID tags on airbags. I placed them on there. And it's interesting, every time we landed, right, we got out of the plane, we went down to the baggage area and stood by the carousel, and we called our bags. We waited, and then, sure enough, our bags came. See, they were marked for the owners. Our bags had RFID tags, right? And they knew where to follow us. So it doesn't matter which state or city we went to, the bags were there. They're called into service. They're marked for us. They're marked. Those tags have information on that says they belong to Michael and Susan Smallton. And also when they go through with our tickets, the ticket links it to those tags and says that tag has to go to Chicago, or that tag has to go to Hawaii. It's got the information. It's got our data. It's marked for us. It's for our purposes. And the reason is that they have a purpose and a destination. The tags actually declare ownership and destination. And if you've been marked for the Lord Jesus, then you have been tagged for Him, and you have a purpose and you've got a destination. You've got a purpose and a destination that God's planned for you. So important. You know, in the same way, I was marked for God from a very young age. And I've told some of you before, but one of the very first photos I've got of me as a baby is in the arms of my parents when they were dressed for Bible college. So I'm the one that doesn't look sad. My brother doesn't look happy about that photo. But I was there. So I was really born when they were in Bible college. And they were in a 4-square college, a Bible college in Perth, that had not long been started by a woman called Jean Darnell. I've spoken about her before. You remember Jean Darnell, who was out from Azusa Street. She came across to Perth, and a mini revival started, and signs and wonders were happening. And I was birthed in that and marked for God in that time. And it was interesting. I was never an overly emotional child. Some kids are very emotional. I wasn't overly emotional. I had emotions, but I wasn't one of those kids that were crying all the time or things like that. And I remember making an informed decision at the age of 5 to follow Jesus. I had weighed it up. I thought about the process. I made a decision at the age of 5. See, God was marking me. He was marking. He's putting His stamp, His seal upon my life. And at the age of 18, I remember a minister called Frank Houston. Who knows Frank Houston or used to know him? Yeah, he was visiting Australia. My father had brought him out to do a thing with teenagers. And our youth group was attending the meeting. And in the middle of the meeting, he was in the middle of his preaching. And he stopped preaching just as I was sneaking out the church. Now, wasn't sneaking out for any other reason, but Susan, who was my girlfriend, was a nurse and she had to go to work. So I said to her, you go first, and so we don't interrupt too much, then I'll come out. And I was sneaking out, and he stopped in the middle of his message, and he made this statement. Is Michael Smorgon here tonight? Now, it was interesting. Earlier that night, he pointed to one young man in our youth group, and he said, the Lord's told me you've been cursing at work. And God said, I want you to stop that, because it's going to take you away from the kingdom. Now, that put the fear of God in a few people. So here I am, sneaking out, and he says this. And so there was a lot of helpful young people in that meeting that night. So they turned around and said, there he is. They pointed to me, and so I'm stopped midway. Susan's at the door and thinking, what am I in for now? So he called me out. I hadn't met him before. He called me out. And he spoke over me, and he said that God had marked me for his purposes and that he had given me wisdom that was beyond my years. Now, that was as an 18-year-old. But it was another way that God just put his mark of destiny and purpose on my life. And I would never forget that. I never forgot that. And each time I was faced with a problem or an issue, I remember what the minister said. And he said that God had given me wisdom beyond my years. So I would go and say, Lord, that's what you said. I need wisdom for this situation. See, wisdom is the principal thing. It's so important that we have wisdom so that we know how to go the right direction. And God was marking me. And as the years went by, every time that we'd visit a church, someone would eventually call us out. And we'd be in the back, and they'd call us out and start to prophesy over us because God was marking us and kept marking us. And it was, I remember talking to Susan and saying, I don't know if I want to go to any of these meetings anymore. Because every time we go, someone calls us out and starts talking over us and prophesying over us. And it was interesting that God was doing that, preparing us for what he wanted us to do. And it's interesting that God is not looking for your ability. And many things, people say, well, look, I'm really good with this. God wants to use that. No, he's just looking for your availability to do what he's called you to do. He will do the rest. He will supply the rest for you. You know, but as a young man, I resisted the call of God. And the reason is that my view of ministry was formed from seeing my parents struggle. My view of ministry was that, you know, ministers would be poor, they would never have anything, and they would go from state to state, just doing the work of God and barely getting by. And so as a result, I pushed harder into my career. And I remember in the early 1990s that I was presented with an opportunity to take my family and go to Brisbane to start a multi-million dollar business. You know, a big company who knew me said, we want you to do this. And it was a great opportunity. I had two other people that I was going to bring on as, you know, 15% shareholders in the business. We'd structured it. I'd mapped out the strategy and the plan for it. And had all these plans and strategies ready to go. And we went to another meeting. And a prophet was there. And he called me out. And this is his words in summary. Don't do that. Don't do that. God has need of you. God has prepared you. There's a full-time call of God on your life. Don't do that. And that's all he said. And the only thing I was going to do was start a business. So as a result, I said, Lord, I'm going to lay that down. People couldn't understand it. And it's interesting that God got me to a point where he said, no, what I want your desire to be for me, for things of God. And so he marked me more. And even so, after that, there was more singling out. There was more times where would be prophets would prophesy over us. And there was about three that said, you're going to raise a massive church from next to nothing. And we would say, Lord, how are you going to do this? How is that going to happen? God was preparing us for a certain time. He said that signs and wonders, healings and miracles will be a part of our ministry. Well, that's part of what he does. There'll be abundance of blessing. There'll be abundance of finances. And so the Lord wanted to tell me that we don't need to be locked into the world system for the increase. Because my viewpoint was that ministry would not fund things. Every time he would tell me, there's abundance of finances. There's abundance of blessing that's going to come upon you. And so I've just got some of these ready today for you. You can take those home. These are just a summary of the ones that we had recently in the last 2 years. So you can have those. It's over us. It's over the church. And, you know, at the time, we didn't have a lot of understanding about the things and how God would do these things and how to get into the calling of God. There wasn't a lot of understanding. You know, I even remember speaking to my father and saying, hey, Dad, could you help me get in these things? And he wasn't interested. Because God was doing something different and wanted to take me on a different path. And but I've come to realizing that understanding can wait. Obedience cannot. I'll say that again. Understanding can wait, but obedience cannot wait. See, God's looking for you to be obedient. If I hadn't said to the Lord at that time, Lord, I don't understand this, but I will not pursue that business. If I had said, Lord, I'm just going to give this a go. I'm going to try that out. If it doesn't work, then I'll do what you've called me to do. He's looking for obedience. That's what he's looking every time. Will you obey him in the small things? Will you do what he said to you to do? So understanding can wait, but obedience cannot. God is looking for those who obey him quickly. And Luke chapter 11, verse 28 says this, and Jesus replied, that's true, but the people who are really blessed are the ones who hear and obey God's messages. Interesting, isn't it? The ones that are really blessed are the ones that who hear and obey God's message. When God speaks, if you obey, the blessing comes. It really does. And that's what faith is all about. When we hear the word of God, accept it and obey his commands. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says this, now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us in God, who also has sealed or marked us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. We've all been marked. There's an absolute marking on your life for God to use you. And there is no one that's been marked by God that's not called. God's got a purpose and a plan for us to do. And the plan or the purpose, maybe you haven't heard this before, or maybe you have, but I want to tell you today that God has marked you for him and he's got great things in store if you would believe. See, the key is, if you believe, then you become God's possession. God's possession. There's too many people that have got a mark in their life and they're still marked. They've resisted the call. They haven't developed their life. They know that they've been saved at some stage, but they just haven't released their faith to do things. See, Jesus has got choices, and I want you to understand that he's got choices in life. And in Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, it says this, so it was as the multitude pressed around him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesareth, and he saw two boats standing in the water. Now, the scripture is intentional. When you read something in the Bible, every word is intentional. And so there's a great intent at why this was written. And it's recorded in the Bible that we are told that Jesus is walking down to the lake and he sees two boats on the shore. It's important to know that Jesus has options. And it records that there was two boats. He was going to choose one. And he chose one. You see, he marked me all those years ago, and I've seen him mark other people as well, but not everyone responds to the marking. I believe he calls people to do things, and he gives them opportunity, but not everyone responds. So he's got options. And there's many people I know that have been anointed that have never gone through with it. It was obviously anointing on their life, and they never fulfilled what God wanted to do. And God then said, okay, I'm going to use somebody else. He's got options. He's not limited to one person. I just want to be one of those people that he uses. And I don't know why he got in my boat and not somebody else's. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't the smartest one around. But he wasn't looking for that. He's only looking for availability. And that's why he's got options. And that's why I've seen people who I would record, you know, say is not too sharp, God use. So it's not on ability. It has to be on availability. So back to this passage. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. He saw the two boats, and there was no one in the boats. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, that's speaking to the multitude, I want you to see here that Jesus got into Simon's boat. Simon, who we know as he named later as Peter. And Jesus is having a conversation with him. Now, you may have noticed that Simon was washing his nets, and it was a signal that he was done. He was finished for the day. I mean, the last thing is he was washing his nets, putting the tackle away, doing all those sort of things that you need as a fisherman. And maybe some of you come to here today thinking, well, you know, I've done a lot of things. I've tried a lot of things. I'm actually done. I finished. I'm going to hang up the boots. You know, I'm just going to enjoy the rest of my life. And I really believe that this was the case with Simon. For some reason, he was discouraged with where he was at. I don't know whether he was at a crossroads, thinking, am I going to be a fisherman all the rest of my life? What am I going to do here? But I believe he was looking for something else. He was looking for more. And to make things worse, him and his team had actually toiled all night. They'd been out in the water all night. And it says they caught absolutely nothing. And so this is the end of the night. And remember, these are not recreational fishermen. I mean, I've done some fishing in my time. And there's nothing worse to catch nothing. So when I go out fishing, if I go to this area, it's nothing happening. I'll go to another area. I'll try some different bait. I'll do something to try and make this happen. And he would have tried every trick in the book, every skill that he knew. He would have gone to that section of the lake. He would have gone over there, over this area. And it was hard work. They're pulling in nets. They're throwing them out. They're pulling in nets. So they're toiling all night. And so they would have been tired, deflated. And I don't know, there's nothing like fishing to work up an appetite. When I go out fishing, I come home really hungry. And he would have been hungry. So when I read the account of this, I'm so glad that Simon's boat was actually empty. It was empty. Everything was removed from the boat. And so Jesus could get into it. So all the nets were gone, everything was moved out, so there was space for Jesus, and he got into his boat. And he could have chosen the other boat that was there, but he didn't, he chose. And this morning, it's the same with you. There's other people, but he, He wants to choose your situation. See, some people got their boats filled up with so many things, so many activities. You know, it was interesting when I was knocking on doors, like people's lives are full of activities. They got the kids to organize, they got all these things happening. Their life is just jam-packed with activities. And some of these people are just their boat's too full. There's absolutely no room for Jesus in their life. And that's why we've got to take a stock and say, I've got to get rid of these things so I've got room for Jesus. If you've come today and you feel empty, well, you're a great candidate for Jesus to get in your boat. And it's not too late for him to get in. And he is saying to you, I want to take you further. I want to show you a miracle. I want to give you an assignment. I want to do something in your life that you can make a mark. You know, thank God that if you've come here today feeling empty, thank God that you've been trying everything and you don't know what to do. You're a candidate for God. If you come to the end and say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I just want you to get in my boat. I want you to do something. Make room for him today. Now back to verse 4. I want to show you something in verse 4 and 5. And he said to Simon, launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. Hands up if you've seen that movie, Forrest Gump. Has anyone not seen the movie Forrest Gump? Well, let me bring you just a little bit of a background here as I bring this message home. I want to set the scene. See, Forrest, he buys a shrimping boat. There wasn't a lot of thought process into what he did. A friend who he was in the army with was talking about shrimp, and so he thought, okay, I'm going to buy a shrimping boat. And he goes out day after day, him and Captain Dan, and they catch nothing. And let me say, he's a little ignorant about the weather conditions. And while there's this big hurricane brewing, all the other captains who know the weather and are a bit wiser, they make a decision that they're not going out in this. They're going to dock their boats. So they bring their boats back into the docks. They tie them up. And they take shelter. And Forrest, a little ignorant, just heads out to do some more fishing. And he gets into a massive storm. And he's still trusting God. But Captain Dan doesn't trust God because there's too many issues in Captain Dan's life. He's got too many issues that he's had, and he's blamed God for everything. So I want to show you this little movie clip right now. So what's the take home from that scene? See, you and I were designed by God to go out in the storm. Because that's what boats do. They're designed to go out. And while all the other boats are tied up in the harbour to play it safe, you were never made to play it safe. In fact, the opposite. You're made to go out in the storm with Jesus in your boat. If Jesus is in your boat, it's unsinkable. You know, every time Jesus was in a boat, he couldn't sink that thing. So that's why it's so important. And there's a plan and a purpose. So if you're playing it safe, if you're just back in the harbour not doing what you're called to do, you're never going to make an impact for God. And God's looking for people that would do something. I want to tell you this morning that you have not experienced a miracle of God because you've docked in the harbour. You've allowed fear to hold you back and tie you up. When all the time God wants you to break off the things that are holding you back and declare his word at every storm and every enemy, things the enemy throws you. Every time the enemy throws you something, you've got to be out in the water. You've got to be facing it. You know, he said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. In Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. So we can't please him, stuck back in the dock, tied up. We've got to be doing what boats do. If something is impossible to do in the natural, by your own strength, well, if something is possible to do with your own strength, you don't need faith. But it's impossible, you do need faith. If you can do it by yourself, you don't need faith. But if you've got something in your life that you can't do by yourself, you need faith. And you need to get out in the boat. You need to get out in the storm. For Simon Peter, the instructions were very plain. And it's interesting, there's instructions that come with believing God for every miracle. There's a set of instructions. There's fine print that you get there. And for Peter, it was launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a catch. That was the instruction. If he left his boat back at the shore, he was never going to experience the miracle of God. He had to do something. He had to get out. And in chapter 6, we see this. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. How come his net was breaking? Because nets don't normally break. But it was breaking. So if we look at the account closely, Simon did not fully obey the instructions that Jesus gave him. Let's see where he didn't obey. Jesus said to him, "Let down your nets." So Simon had finished washing his nets. So he wasn't about to spend another hour or two washing them just to go out because some preacher said to do it. So he got an old net, which he didn't care whether he washed it or not. It was an old net. He got the one that was normally stuck up the front of the boat just in case they needed to have another one to get some smaller fish. After all, he was a professional. And Jesus was just the preacher. That's where he got to. And in verse 7 it says, "So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And when they came, they filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" What was a sin that he was so reminded of? His sin was that he didn't obey the instructions. He partly obeyed. He launched out in the deep, but he didn't let down his nets. He just let down one old net. So we saw the miracle of what God did, but he didn't get the glory. The glory went to the other boat. I don't care what you do. When you're out there fishing, you might be with three or four people, and you might be in the same boat, but the one who pulls in the fish gets the glory for that. So the other boat got the glory. They received the glory of the miracle, but Peter could see it, but he never experienced it. And he realized that he was a sinful man. And verse 9, "And he and all that with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which were taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the partners, or who were partners of Simon." These professional fishermen had never seen anything like it in their whole lives. It was a point, at this point, that Simon was marked for the Lord. And we see this, the next thing that Jesus says to him. "And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid.'" Great fear came. He was thinking, who is this man that he can command the fish and they respond to him? "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' So they brought their boats to the land and forsook all and followed him." From that point on, they decided that they're going to change his career. He changed it from that moment on. You know, your miracle is actually attached to a set of instructions. Everywhere you look in the Bible, there's a set of instructions. March around Jericho 7 times. Dip in the Jordan 7 times. Do this. There's always a set of instructions. And, you know, one day when Jesus was watching people putting money into the treasury at the temple, a widow came who was empty, and she had only 2 small coins left to her name. She had no income. That's what would happen. And she placed them in the offering, and it got Jesus' attention, and he was amazed at her faith. There's only 2 people in the Bible that he was amazed with their faith. One was a centurion, and one was this widow. He was amazed at her faith. I can tell you that her faith was about to get her boat filled, because that was going to, if Jesus got Jesus' attention, then the blessing was about to come on her life. We need to abandon our faith in money so God can bless us. God has got more for you if you only believe. You know, if this message has actually hit home today, that, you know, I want you to do something courageous. I want you to make a decision that it's time that God got me out of into the deep. It's time for me to get out of my comfort zone. It's time for me to step up and say, Lord, I'm ready to be used by you. And I want to encourage you in that today. So why don't you stand with me? Stand with me right now. And we're just going to sing a song together, but I want you to make a new declaration to the Lord. Say, Lord, it's time for me to serve you. And you may have been serving the Lord in some capacity, but God wants all of your heart right now. He's about to do something great in our church. He's about to do something great in our life. And I want to tell you that it's time for us to do something different. So as we sing this, why don't you make that declaration to the Lord?